Visitors, you are especially our guest, and we're honored that you came and chose to spend this Sunday with us. And we invite you to come back and be with us at any opportunity that you have. As the Lord wills, we're here on every Sunday morning at this time, and on Sunday evenings at 6. And then our Wednesday evening time together, we begin around 6 o'clock with a meal. And then around 6:45 or so, we have a devotional and Bible study time. And we'd invite you to come and be a part of all of that with us and join as we study the Scripture together. We had a great day yesterday. Many of you were probably here. We had a great time with the little ones and big ones alike. And that was fun. It was a beautiful day. Lots of candy. So if the kids are a little wired this morning, I don't know why. They've been eating chocolate. Andrew, I don't know why you're wired this morning. You've been eating chocolate too? But I hope that everyone enjoyed that time together yesterday. But it's interesting. And as we talk about this morning's sermon, which is going to be about resurrection, as you might have imagined, I think it's interesting that in St. Paul, Minnesota, they removed a display of the Easter Bunny in City Hall in St. Paul because they did not feel that it was appropriate for the government to promote religion. It's a true story. And we're not going to talk about the role of faith in government, all that. It's a great, great lesson, but that's not this morning's lesson. But what I wanted us to focus on is, what is Easter really about? Now, I enjoyed yesterday, and I'm glad the kids got to hunt Easter eggs, and that's fun, and I'm not opposed to it. But the Easter Bunny really has nothing to do with Easter and its importance. Okay? I mean, it has zero to do with that. There's nothing religious about the Easter Bunny. You will not find Peter Rabbit anywhere in the pages of Scripture. Okay? I'm not making fun of that, but we sometimes lose. We don't realize that there's nothing about eggs or rabbits in the Scripture. It's just not there. So what is Easter about? And why is it important? And that's going to be today's lesson. Why is Easter important and what's it about? Because here's what the Apostle Paul does say, and I believe it is true because the Apostle Paul is inspired. And if you don't realize it, while Paul, I don't know that how much contact, if any, he had with Jesus prior to the resurrection, Paul certainly had contact with Jesus after the resurrection. Okay? So, Paul is inspired by the Spirit of God, taught by Jesus himself. And Paul says, here is the underlying principle. That if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, and there was a real argument at the time about whether or not Christ was raised from the dead. Now let's back up a second. And I want this lesson to be really kind of, I hope, simple, but one we can understand. They had no trouble with the fact that this man Jesus lived and died in Jerusalem. There was no question about that happening because there were eyewitnesses. There were thousands of people in Jerusalem. Remember that the sky turns dark. The veil of the temple was torn in two, which doesn't seem all that, but it would have been, that was a major event. And if you will remember from the account of the crucifixion, that dead people around Jerusalem were raised from the dead, came out of the tombs and went into Jerusalem, and people saw them and met with them and talked with them. So that's an event that we're going to remember, right? So people knew this man Jesus lived and that he died in Jerusalem. No question about that. But there was controversy and question about whether or not this man Jesus was raised from the dead. Because that changes everything, right? Because remember, in this environment, there had been lots of individuals, or several individuals, who claimed to be the Messiah. That was not new. Jesus was not unique in that. And most of them had had a political agenda. But they had led numbers of people astray, teaching that they were the Messiah. So what was unique about Jesus? Well, if Jesus is raised from the dead, that certainly is unique. Everybody agree? That is certainly unique if Jesus is raised from the dead. And so that's the controversy. The question of the time was Jesus resurrected, raised from the dead? That's the question. And it is a question that persisted. Because if you will remember, when Paul is carried to Caesarea to stand trial, if you will, before the Roman governors, as he has appealed his case to Caesar. And so the Roman governor is going to send Paul to Rome to be tried by Caesar himself, which is unique, isn't it? But he has difficulty knowing what charge he's going to send with Paul, because the charge that the Jewish leaders were making against Paul was this, that he was teaching that Jesus was resurrected. And they were saying that Jesus was not resurrected. And the Roman governor kind of thinks, they're arguing whether this man is dead or alive, and it didn't mean anything to him. He just didn't understand the discussion at all. And so he actually goes to King Agrippa and to Bernice and says, you know about this religion, help me understand. I'm between the proverbial rock and the hard place. I don't know what charge to send with this man to Caesar. It's going to be a little embarrassing if I send this man all the way to Rome. And well, what's the charge? He says this man, Jesus, was raised from the dead. It didn't seem important to Festus or Felix either. But Paul says it is of the utmost importance. It is of the utmost importance because hear what Paul says is, if Jesus is not raised from the dead, if Jesus was not raised, then there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then none of us are going to be raised. Those who have already died are just dead. Those of us will live sometime longer, and I don't know how long that will be. And then we'll die, and that'll be over. And so Paul says, our faith is meaningless. None of this matters if Christ wasn't raised from the dead. But the fact of the matter is that Christ was raised from the dead. That Christ came back to life. That he was dead, that he was placed in a tomb, and Jesus came back to life. And in the same way that Jesus came back to life, you and I are going to come back to life. That there is a resurrection from the dead, and that is our hope. And I will talk about that because Mike used that word, hope. And I want to make sure we understand what hope means. What does hope mean? Because for us, hope for and wish for are almost interchangeable, aren't they? I hope for something or I wish for something. We might use those the same way. But when the Apostle Paul uses the term hope, he's not saying, I wish something would happen. Maybe this will happen. This is what I want to happen. That's what I'm going to ask for my birthday. Hope is the confident expectation of something occurring. Paul has the confident expectation of the resurrection of the dead. Paul knows this is going to happen. And that's what he's looking forward to, and that's what we should look forward to. So to put this in a nutshell for a moment, for all of us, young or old, why is Easter so important? Why is this special? Well, it's something we should celebrate every day, every week. Because what's important about Easter is not the Easter bunny or Cadbury eggs, Denise, Denise told me yesterday she was wild about the Cadbury eggs. And that's all right. I love the Reese's. You know, whether they're in an egg form or whatever. That chocolate and peanut butter is hard to miss. But that's not what makes us special. Okay? It's not finding a little money in the egg. That's the ones I used to like to get, was the ones that had money in them. That's not what makes us special. What makes Easter special is that the dead live again. It's no more difficult than that. What is special is that the dead live again. Because what's our great fear? It's death. It's death. How are you doing today? I woke up on the right side of grass. Now, I can tell you I have difficulty with that whole statement, but what does it say? Underlying the principle is, I'm not dead, so it must be a great day, right? Because our fear is death. We'll talk about something and say, well, I don't really like it, but it won't kill me. Because our fear is death. And it should be, because was death God's intention? It's a good question, because it helps underlie a principle that helps answer lots of questions in our lives about bad things happening to good people and on and on and on. No. What did God intend? What did God plan? What did God design? And what did God implement? God implemented a place where Adam and Eve were to live, and in that garden that you and I are familiar with, there was the tree of life, right? Where Adam and Eve could eat from the tree of life and live forever. Now, here's something that's interesting, and you probably know it, but maybe some of us don't. The lifespan that we have today is considerably shorter than people lived earlier in our creative history, right? Adam lives to be over 900 years old. Methuselah lives to be 929 years old. As far as we know, he's the oldest one. Not 969. I knew it wasn't old enough. 969. 969 years. And there is a chance, and I won't tell you this definitively, that Methuselah died in the flood. So that Methuselah died at 969, and it might not have been from natural causes. Except the flood probably was a natural cause. But you know what I mean. It wasn't a heart attack, cancer, stroke, overeating, whatever that might have been. But after the flood, God changes things. And our lifespans begin to decline. And then God says that we're going to live to be about 70 or a little older. Depending on our strength and those things, and some earlier, so and so. But man, if so, this thought that we couldn't live longer is false. And that Adam and Eve could have eaten from the tree of life and would have lived forever. Need to grasp that thought. Because everything we know has beginnings and ends, right? It's finite. I mean, it just is. It's really hard for me to grasp past that. Because time is so important. Because all of you know what time it is. And the time you're concerned about is how long is he going to talk? When is his time over? I mean, time just drives us, right? What time we get up, when we go somewhere, how long is this going to take? How long has the ham got to cook? What time are we meeting for lunch today? All of those things. But to imagine that being expanded or being in the absence of time, because really eternity is not unlimited time. It's really the absence of time. It's the absence of time. So, things as it, but we were designed where we could live forever. And Jesus was raised from the dead with a resurrection body, designed to live forever. Now, is it a real body? Yes. Now, how do we know that? Because you remember, Thomas touches it, right? And it still had the scars of his body. That in that body, Jesus ate. Remember that? He sits down with them and he eats. And who is it? I'm going to make you answer that. Who was it? Who was raised from the dead? Jesus was. And the reason I tell you that is because sometimes in our minds, we get the thought that I have this spirit that's going to live forever, and I know I have a soul, but I have real trouble connecting with my soul. Don't you? I mean, we know we have one, but we have trouble knowing what it is. But what the scripture teaches is not, unlike the song we sing, where the soul of man never dies. The scripture teaches where the body of man never dies. That the dead will be raised from the grave. And that we will have bodies and we will be who we are. Okay? We'll be who we are. Now I'm hoping. Because Jesus' body appears to be somewhat different. Because they did not readily recognize him after the resurrection. Although he has a physical body, he has the scars, and they're able to, after time, know, but there's some difference. I'm just hoping I'm better looking at the resurrection. But it's going to be me. When I say that, Ted Beatty is going to be raised from the dead. And I think that's really important. As a Christian, this nebulous spirit is not going to continue on over which I have no real relationship. And I think we do, but I have trouble grasping that. I believe that. I know that we are spirit, that we have a spiritual component. But I have a much better grasp that I am going to be raised from the dead. Or if Jesus comes before I die, which is possible. Maybe probable. I don't know the probability of that. I don't know when Jesus is going to come back. He hadn't told us that. He just says, I'm coming back. But at that point, if I'm still alive, I'll be changed and we'll meet Jesus in the air. Okay? That I'll be changed. That I'll have this resurrection body. But it's going to be a body. I'm going to know who I am. And I'm going to have memories of this life. I think there's every, because there's some thought, well, we won't know who we are, we won't know who people are. I don't find that anywhere in the scripture. I find right to the contrary, it's going to be our resurrection, and we're going to be who we are, and we'll remember who we are and things we've experienced, and that we will have a body. And that Jesus is gone to prepare a place for us, just like the garden was a wonderful, perfect place for us to live. God has recreating, and it may not be just like the garden. I don't know what it will be like, but it will be a new heaven and a new earth designed for us. And what will be there? John tells us in the Revelation, the tree of life. The tree of life will be there. So we'll be able to eat from the tree of life, and we will live forever. That's the importance of Easter. That's what Paul was preaching. That's the message of the New Testament. That's the message of the cross, is that Jesus died as a payment for our sins because the wages of sin is death. That's why we fear death, because death is the wage of sin. And it's exactly what God told Adam and Eve, right? God said in the garden, if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what's going to happen to you? You're going to die. That's not what I want to happen. He knew that's what we were going to do. And he'd made a plan. But it's not God's desire that we die. But our disobedience, our sin, brought about death. The wages of sin has to be paid. Any of you who work in HR, or especially if you own your own business or have worked in a smaller business or a larger business, what, you think the IRS is bad? Wage and hire, folks, make the IRS look like your benevolent uncle. When I say that, wage and hire, folks, if you don't pay people what they're supposed to be paid, when they're supposed to be paid, they are shutting you down immediately. No discussion. You know, you got to do what you're supposed to do. There's not a problem with that. The reason I say that is wages have to be paid, right? The wages of sin is death, and it has to be paid. It has to be paid. God sent His Son, His only Son, to die on the cross to pay the price of sin. It wasn't His sin. He who was without sin became sin. Jesus never sinned. He lived perfectly. He was the perfect Lamb of God. But He died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. That's why Jesus died. Because the wage of sin had to be paid. And then God raised Him on the third day from the grave. The first fruits of all of us will be raised. Because why? The price had been paid for sin. And so the wage of sin, the cost of sin was death, right? Jesus paid it. Jesus paid it. And God raised Him from the dead and says, there is life. The dead will live again. The dead will live again. Just as Jesus' body was raised from the dead, we'll be raised from the dead. Jesus paid the price for sin so that we have the confident expectation, the promise of living forever. I have every intention, every plan to live forever. And that's my plan. I'm going to live forever. Now, do I realize that this body that I'm in, Jerry, this mobile home I'm living in, brother, I understand I'm not staying in this tent, this mobile home forever. That it's wearing out on me every day. Every day. I'm closer to it wearing out. I don't know how many miles it's got in it. But at some point, it's going to wear out. But I have every expectation that when my Lord returns, that I'm going to receive a new body designed to live unendingly, that I will be able to partake of the tree of life, and that aging and death and sickness will no longer bother me. And I will live with God forever. Because the power of God raised His Son from the dead, the same power of God will raise us from the dead. That's why this Sunday is especially meaningful, because we should celebrate it every day, the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus, because in that we have the promise of living forever. It's the cure for all diseases. It's the cure for all diseases. All of them. There'll be no sickness, no more dying. The former things will have passed away. It is the cure for all of the diseases, for the disease of sin itself, which brings about death. It eliminates our greatest fear. The Scripture says that Jesus will be exalted to the right hand of the Father, and the last enemy to be placed under His feet is death. Jesus will defeat all the enemies, including death itself. Jesus gave His blood, His life, as a payment for our sin. And He calls us in faith to believe not only that God exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That we surrender our will to God's, that we be about His business, confessing our faith in Jesus, changing the way that we live, which is difficult. Changing the way that we live, not only our actions, but our attitudes, inviting the Spirit of God to live in us and to change our very attitudes from one of selfishness and self-preservation to one of sacrifice and love for God, letting God bless us. Being washed in the waters of baptism, being adopted as children of God and therefore heirs of the King, of all the promises of the King and all the privileges of being children of the ruler of the universe and the promise of life eternal. The tomb was empty because the dead will live again. And Jesus calls us to a cross where the price was paid so that our sin that brings about death might be washed away, that we might stand in His righteousness, and that we might have the confident expectation of living unendingly with the Father Himself. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.